everybody here today. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 4, and beginning at verse number 12 through 15. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today that we're able to be in your house. We thank you for all these fathers that are here today, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that we can come and lift you up today. I praise you for your holy word that you have given us. And I ask that you would anoint me to speak this word and that you would anoint their ears to receive it today. And Lord, we bind any hindering spirit and we plead your blood. Let me say nothing more, nothing less than what you'd have me to say. And I know, Lord, if anything's going to become the remainder of this service, it's not because of any flesh, but it's because of you. And I ask, Lord, that your will is going to be done. And Jesus, we plead your blood again and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you today, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Bible says he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. Amen. The intents of our heart. That's what I want to preach on this morning, because the intents of our heart. Amen. Amen. I know this is a Father's Day, and I'm going to relate this to fathers as well as mothers. Amen. As well as children, as well as grandparents, grandmothers, everybody. Amen. Because I tell you today, he knows and he's a discerner of the intents of our heart today. Amen. He knew what you had need of when you got up this morning, and he'll know what you have need of when you walk out of this building today. But let me tell you, church, there's a word there that you and I, as fathers this morning, have got to realize, that word intents. Amen. What we intend to do. Amen. We can intend to be a Christian father. We can intend to raise our children up in church, or we can intend to tear them out into that world. Amen. And what we intend to do today will have an effect on our children later on in life. Amen. It will have a very big, important effect on our children. Amen. If we intend. Amen. If we think about carrying on the church and we never do get them in God's house. If we think about doing this and we never do this. There's going to come a time that it's going to be too late. There's going to come a time that word intent is not going to matter. Amen. Don't put off what you can do today till tomorrow, because tomorrow may not ever come. But let me tell you, it's time that we do what needed to be done today. Amen. It's time we stand up and say, wait a minute. I've got children that need to be in God's house. I've got children that need to know about Jesus. I've got children that need to know about the spiritual side. And I need to bring them to God's house. Amen. I need to raise them up in God's house. Why? Because such, he's a discerner of our thoughts. He knows the intents of our heart today. Amen. Just because I almost did, that only counts in horseshoes. That's not going to count on the day of judgment. That I almost did. That I almost did. I almost was persuaded. Amen. King Agrippa was almost persuaded. Paul said he was almost persuaded. Amen. But the word almost is not going to get nowhere on that judgment day. Either you're in or you're out. There is no in between. And I tell you, church, he's a discerner of our thoughts today. Amen. He's a discerner of our thoughts. Me being a father, amen. My children, they look up to me and they watch me. Amen. And you can tell that they're my children. As we talked about that in Sunday school a little bit after Mother brung me and Daddy up, brung Brother Wimper and Brother Mickey up, I began to watch people that come into church. Amen. I noticed Brother Carl, he come in with his two boys. Amen. You knew they belonged to Brother Carl. Amen. As they walked in the door. Amen. I noticed when Brother Greg Youngblood, his family come walking in the door, you knew them was his children. Amen. Why? Because you can tell that reflection. Amen. You can see that resemblance. Amen. You can see that they're part of that. But daddies, let me tell you today, there's another part that our children must have that you and I have this morning. It's our Heavenly Father's part. We've got to have that spiritual part that's on the inside of us. It must be birthed on the inside of them. And when they grow up and become men and women, amen, they're going to do according to what daddy and mama has told them to do. Amen. But he's a discerner of our intents today. He's a discerner of our thoughts right now and the intents of our hearts. Amen. But church, I say this all things, but I wanted to read the scripture today. Amen. Because see, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Amen. all things are naked and open. So therefore, if I intend to be spiritual, if I intend to have a family that's raised in God's house, He sees right through me because it's naked and it's open before His eyes. Amen. I cannot afford to intend. I got to do what I feel like I've got to do. And amen, in those Southport times, either you in or you out. There is no gray area in the kingdom of God. There is no way that I got one foot in and one foot out. I must be sold out to Jesus Christ. I must belong to Him this morning. I must come to that place that I say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Amen. I have got to be a child of the King. Amen. I cannot afford to be attend. Or almost, or maybe I'll become a Christian one day because I do not have that satisfaction in my heart. Neither do I have that guarantee that tomorrow is going to come. Amen. There's a lot of people today that have put their shoes on this morning, but somebody else will take them off of them this evening because they will not have strength in their body no longer to do that. Amen. Listen to this here, church. But He says, let us hold fast our profession. Amen. If I don't hold what I believe in, if I don't hold fast my profession, my children are watching me this morning. If I wave to the left and to the right, my children are watching me this morning. If I do not hold fast what I profess to be this morning, them little eyes that are looking at me, one day they're going to look up to me and say, well, Daddy thought this was all right, so it must have been all right. Amen. But church, it's time that Daddy stand up and say, wait a minute, I'm going to be a child of the King so my children can see that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. But I've got to hold fast to that professing. In other words, I cannot be that wishy-washy Christian. I cannot be that one that says, wait a minute, if things are convenient, amen, if things are going good, we'll just go to God's house and we'll serve Him, amen. But when things go bad, we're going to go back out the door, amen. If this one don't shake my hand, I ain't going back to that church. If this one don't hug my neck, I ain't going back to that church. I'm telling you, that one that stands, amen, he's going to stand and he's going to profess his faith because he's going to hold that faith fire. He's going to have a desire in his heart and my heart's going to lead him down the path of righteousness, amen. Because he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart today. Amen. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Amen. Listen to this here. He says, this is talking about Jesus, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was tempted, church. I know that picture you see, him hanging on that cross. I know that picture you see where he's gathered around the supper table. It does not illustrate whatsoever what really went on in those scriptures of God's Word. It says he was tempted in all manners. Amen. In all manners. He was tempted. Amen. Yes, there was time that people rubbed him wrong. Yes, there was time that people got on his nerves. Yes, there was time that he was exhausted. Yes, there was time that he didn't feel like getting up. Yes, there was time that he felt like he needed to rest a little while. Amen. That was too far, and then people wasn't going to receive him nohow. But I tell you what, then, he said, I have got to do my Father's will. And he did not trust in his own will, but he went out and done what his Father's will was. He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. Amen. Why? Because that flesh gets tired. How many knows that flesh gets tired today? That flesh gets weak, but that spirit's got to be willing, church. It's got to be willing. Amen. But he says he knows the intent of our heart. Amen. Listen, Matthew 15:18 says, but those things which proceedeth out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Amen. And they defile the man. Those things that proceedeth out of the mouth, they come from the heart. If there ain't nothing in that heart, Sister Lottie, there ain't nothing going to come out of that heart. Amen. He knows the intent of our thought. He knows what's in that heart today. If there ain't anything in that heart, do not ever expect anything to come out of that heart. That's just like going fishing. You find your little small pond there. Amen. And you fish and you fish and you fish. And it's clear water. You can see what's in it. And if you can't see no fish, do you expect to ever catch any? Amen. If you walk around that small pond and it's crystal clear and you can look all around it and you don't see a fish in it, why go back to fishing? Amen. Amen. Church, I'm telling you today, if there ain't nothing in that heart, there ain't nothing going to come out. Amen. There's nothing in that heart, nothing going to come out because out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. And church, just because you intend to do something, if there ain't nothing in that heart, you never will follow through doing that. But I've got news for you today. If you get that heart filled with Jesus Christ, that word intend will not be a part of your vocabulary because going to do it, and you'll do it. Why? Because it's in thy heart. It's in thy heart. If it's not in thy heart, you'll never do it. You will never do it. You'll never follow through. Amen. Amen. That's just like getting up going hunting in the mornings. Amen. It's cold, it's cold, it's cold when it's hunting season in the winter. Amen. I remember we went hunting here a while back, a couple years ago, in the snow up there. It was cold. It was like in the teens. Amen. And it snowed that night up there, and it was just beautiful out there. But you know what? My wife thought I was a lunatic to get up and to go hunting that morning with the snow on the ground. Had to go to my tree stand and knock the snow out of my tree stand, clean it all out where I could climb up in that tree and sit, and it's still in the teens. She thought I was crazy. But the difference was this, Brother Carl. It was in my heart, and it wasn't in her heart. Amen. You see where I'm getting at this morning? It was in my heart to go out and go hunting, but it wasn't in her heart. She didn't think I was, she thought I was crazy, but I thought I had a good chance to see a deer because everything was going to shine and move out there. Let me tell you, that's the same way it is in God's house. If it's in my heart, it's important to you, but if it's not in my heart, you'll never intend to do it. You'll never follow through, but what's in my heart, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. Amen. You say, well, Brother Miller, you're about half crazy. You screaming and spitting up there and all that. Let me tell you, it's what's in the heart. It's going to come out. Amen. I got news for you. I love to see my kids play ball. I love to see them do good. I love to see them hit a home run. I love to see them make a good play. Amen. It thrills me good because it's in my heart. But somebody else out there, they could care less. Amen. That's the same way it is spiritually. Some people want to just come to God's house and say, I have been there. I have attended. But let me tell you, some people want to come to God's house and get involved in what's going on. Why? Because the difference is what's in the heart. Amen. What's in that heart? Amen. What's in that heart? Amen. Listen to this here. I want to change something a little bit. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 24 says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this is the man great power of God. Amen. This man is the great power of God. And to him they regarded, because that long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Amen. Read that again. And wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaritan had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, whom, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet it was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And Simon saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that whosoever I lay hands, they may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot of this manner, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Amen. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Why? Amen. He believed. He was baptized, but what happened, Brother Charles? He seen something, and he began to wonder on this. He seen something, and he began to wonder on this. I'm saying daddies. I'm saying this morning mamas. Amen. You may have seen things, but that wondering mind, that idle mind, is a devil's playground. Amen. It's time that we keep that heart filled, and when we get that heart filled, there'll be no room for the devil to come in. Amen. But he began to wonder. He began to wonder on these miracles, and he offered money. Amen. I'm going to say something right now that may buffalo everybody in this building. I'm telling you one thing. Your tithe is not going to get you to heaven. You coming to church is not going to get you to heaven. But what's in my heart is what's going to get you to heaven. If Jesus is in my heart, let me tell you this morning, you got a heaven awaiting you and a hell to shut. But if Jesus is not in my heart, I don't care if you pay your tithe, if you attend church, if you're a member of a church, you're not going to make heaven your home. Amen. This man was a believer. He was baptized, but yet he began to wonder. He began to ponder. Amen. He began to ponder. The Bible always sets the scene. It gives a description and detail of somebody before it goes through with the Scripture. First of all, it told that he thought himself that he was some great man. So before the scripture ever came out, it went ahead and identified that he had a problem with pride, because he thought he himself was some great man. And then he realized that he had made a lot of money through what? Through the greatest, through the least. They all thought that he had great power by bewitching the people and through the sorcery. So therefore, he had a taste for being lifted up. He had a taste for power, and he had a taste for money. His money had bought him everything that he ever had. But let me tell you, church, your money will perish with you. It'll never buy you salvation. It only comes when you open your heart up and Jesus comes into that heart. Amen. What is the intent of your heart today? It's naked and open before the eyes of God today. He sees right on in the inside. He sees the intent. But church, as I said earlier, that almost, it only, almost, only works in horseshoes. Amen. I almost went to that altar. I almost rededicated my life. I almost sold out to Jesus. That's not going to get us nowhere, church. That's not going to get us nowhere. Simon was a believer. Simon was baptized. But yet he thought through his money he could purchase the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen here. Matthew 24 says this, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Brother Nick, what are you saying? I'm saying that love was there. But because that iniquity abound, that love began to wax cold. Amen. That heart that was once filled with the love of the Lord in that heart, that had a desire to be a part of anything that was spiritual in the eyes of the Lord, that could be a worker, that could be someone that was dedicated, ready to do something for the Lord. Amen. If you don't use what you give, the Lord has blessed you with, I'm telling you what, that love will begin to wax cold. That desire will begin to wax cold. That desire to do what God wants you to do, what He's laid in your heart, will wax cold. But I tell you what, it's time that we get to that place that we say, Lord, I don't want to live in a world of attention on doing something. I want to be one that's done something. Amen. Think about it. When they roll that casket up here, what's that preacher going to say about you? He intended on doing this. He intended on doing that. He intended on doing this. He intended on doing that. Or is it going to be Brother Steve? He done what the Lord laid on his heart. He preached what the Lord laid on his heart. He went where the Lord led him. He done what the Lord wanted him to do. He was a man or woman of God. Amen. You see where I'm getting at, church? Amen. What we intend on doing is not going to help us. But what we do is what's going to help us. What we do is going to help us. Amen. On May 18th, 1986, if I would have intended on going to that altar, amen, you know what would have happened? I'd still be lost today, Brother Bob. But I had to put action with those words. I had to do something. Amen. I had to get up and come to that altar. And not intend on giving my heart, but Sister Susie, I gave him my heart. Amen. I gave him my heart. And therefore, things begin to change in my life. Amen. Things begin to turn around in my life. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about you're going to get rich. I'm not talking about that you're going to get, everything's going to go great. But I can tell you one thing, that you can lay down and rest your head on that pillar at night and sleep knowing that all is under the blood. Amen. Why? Because that heart is filled with Jesus Christ. And you know this world is just temporary. And there's a heaven that's waiting that's eternal. Amen. But church, we got to realize, if we just intend on doing something, those little eyes that are watching us, amen, those little eyes that are watching us, they see what Daddy or Mama stands for. They see what Daddy and Mama really stands for. Do you know the smartest creature in the world? I would say this as a little bitty child. Amen. I'll explain this. When all those Vietnamese come over here in the mid-70s, they all got shrimp boats. They put every one of them in the shrimping business. Amen. And you know what would happen when they would come up around you? They'd find a young one, 10, 11, 12 years old, and them older ones would bring him up there, and he would speak to you. He would talk to you in English. You would tell him something, and he'd turn around and talk in Vietnamese back to those older ones. Why? Because they could not comprehend our language, and neither could I comprehend their language. Amen. But that young child, he could learn both of them. Amen. He could learn both of them. Amen. He could go to school with a teacher talking in English, go home with a mom and daddy talking in Vietnamese, and understand both of them. Amen. And you know what? I can't write to start with. He'd come home and he could write in American and write in Vietnamese. I'm saying, where have I missed it all? Amen. Because that child is a lot smarter than what we think they are. Amen. They're born in this world and 3 years they're beginning to talk. Amen. Why? I'm telling you, church, you better beware of those little young eyes because they're a lot smarter than what mama and daddy's thinking they are. And you better realize what you intend on doing and what you really do because they're watching you today. Amen. They're watching you today. Amen. Because see, they're going to be a replica of what daddy and what mama is. Amen. You can't deny it. I know me and my daddy's got characteristics a lot. I'll call sometimes, some people call, and I'll be at his house and I answer the phone. They'll say, Gerald, you got any of this? Then there you go. And I say, wait a minute, it ain't me, but we sound the same. Amen. Walking through the nursing home, I get laughed at all the time down there. I'll get Granddaddy Miller up and here me and him will go walking. Amen. Amen. Them women will laugh at us sometimes. They look at them. They walk alike. They walk alike. Amen. Amen. I hope I can still walk when I'm 80-something years old. Amen. But amen. But they say, look at them. They walk alike. Amen. They make fun of us because why? Because they don't realize. They think I'm his son. Most of them do. They don't realize that he's my granddaddy. That I'm his grandson. Amen. But I'm still a character of that. Amen. I'm still a character of it. Amen. And if you're a character of Jesus Christ today, it better show on the outside. It better show on the inside. And if he's in my heart, it will reflect on all sides. Amen. But intending on just being a Christian won't make it, church. A lot of good men, a lot of good women that went to that grave with good intentions. Very good intentions. But they never followed through. Never followed through. You only give them one life on this earth here. Right now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. You have no promise of tomorrow. Don't put off selling out to Jesus till tomorrow. Because I got news for you. That devil, just as soon as you walk out this building, he'll cloud your mind up. He'll cloud your mind up. Something will occupy your mind. Something will come in and you'll find something to occupy that mind. Good intentions don't carry water. But that one that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, that carries weight in the kingdom. Because that daddy has made his mind up that he's going to raise his family up in God's house. He's going to raise his family up in a Christian environment. Why? Why? Because he's seen bad intentions carry you to hell just as well as good intentions and never following through on them. Church, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question.